Okay, Rabosai. I think we're up to Sifches. Is that true? Yeah. Sifches has the famous Sock of the Rush, which really brings the whole Zeya issue into Halacha. Machla shal cholov shenoskel bekira tachas gedira shal basar hazeya olav nivla bekdira v'osarta. So if you have a pan of milk and you're boiling the milk underneath the pot of meat, the zeya of the milk goes up and goes into the pot of meat and traces up that pot of meat. That's the principle of zeya. Where does the Rush get this from? That's very interesting where he gets it from. He gets it from the second perek of Maseches Machshirin, which has what the basic principle of beginning the second perek of Machshirin? What's the principle he learns from the Mishnah Machshirin? Don't worry, we didn't say anything you don't know. That the Zeya of X is... Yeah, or just more generally, the Zeya of X is like X. Right, the Zeya of things, now of course what kind of things, we'll see the Prebogadim discusses, the Zeya of a type of thing is like that thing. So the steam coming up from milk is milk. And obviously, if milk hits a fleshy pot, so we already learned the terrible things that happen if milk hits the outside of a fleshy pot. You're in a bit of trouble. So the Rama continues and just applies that law. He says, when does the pot of chulent become treif if the zeya of the milk goes up? The Rama says, im haya cholov b'machlas, if there was milk in the milky pot. If there's no milk in the milky pot, then you're okay. And the only way your chulent will be much is if it's 60 times the amount of milk in the pot on the bottom, right? Because the zeh of the milk is going up. It's obviously hitting kinegad rotev, so it's hitting the bottom of the fleshy pot. So kinegad rotev, you need to be vasel b'shishim. But how much milk taste went up in that zeh? We have no idea. So we have to mishar kinegad kulo, because by nothing ne lo yadinan. Therefore, it's only mutter if you have 60 times as much food in the fleshy pot as there was milk in the milky pot, which is not always going to happen. And this all applies if the bottom pot of milk was open, uncovered, and the zeya is going up from the food itself to the fleshic pot. As soon as you see steam from the milking pot hitting the fleshic pot, right? Here's your milking pot. Here's your steam going up. Here's your fleshic pot. As soon as you see that steam going up, obviously most of the taste in the milking pot is still in the milk. But you don't know. There's no way to know how much taste was in that zeya that went up to the fleshic pot. There's no way to measure that. So you have to be sure and get cool.
I'm just thinking of that maybe even a little more meaningful than in reality, because a lot of zeya perhaps had gone and dissipated already.
You mean some zeya didn't go into the fleshic pot?
45 minutes after this was happening.
But you can always say those words. The problem is, there's no way to know how to measure it. And then the rule of Mishar and Bekula, that's the bane of all of Hilchos Harovis. That it's never really as much as we measure it. It's always a small fraction. But since we don't know how to measure it, our only choice is to measure Keneged Kulo. And that's, you're just stuck here. Unless you can give me the equation, all your svaras don't help. Because I'll say, I know your svaras are right and that it's not really so much milk taste. But I don't know how to measure, so the only thing I can grab onto is Keneged Kulo. Are you thinking
more than Kulo?
More than Kulo?
Yeah.
How could there be more milk taste than there is?
I just say, because right now, let's say you have 3 ounces, and that's all
I mean, more than what there is now, because they might have started out with, Keneged Kulo means Kulo that you started with. Enochanami, you're right. Oh, that's what you meant. I apologize. Then Kulo is Kulo at the beginning, not Kulo at the end. Enochanami. So then he just points out, this is only true if there's actually milk in here, and the zeya is going up. If there's just a hot milking pan, pots don't have any zeya, right? It's only actual milk. If it's just an empty milking pan, that's not going to be a problem.
Or water.
Or even if it is, even if it's water in a milking pan, even if it's water in a milking pan, then this water is a not bar not of milk, and it's the zeya of the water is going to be like the water, but it's not going to be the yevet asur your meat, only if there's actual milk in the pan. The gam ma'iri shubakar of kol kasha yatzoled is bezeya b'mokr shenegeya l'kdeira. And this is only a problem if, because remember, where's the fire? I've given up on drawing fire. The fire is under here. So depending on how hot this is, on where this is, it might be very cold up here. Because it's not like, don't imagine in our ovens where it's very hot all over. This is just talking about the fire's just down here. So it's only if this is so small that it's yatzoledness over here, because then the zeya can get absorbed into this pot. If the pot is so high up that by the time the zeya gets up there, it's cold, then okay, you might have to wipe off the bottom of the pot to wipe off whatever accumulated zeya is there, but it won't cause any absorption because it's cold zeya in a cold pot. Cold zeya doesn't absorb into a cold pot. And that's where the Rambam gets his salami, psak, avalim ein hayad soledes b'zeya ha-kol shari, but if the yad is not, if there's no yad soledes b'on the zeya, it's all much of that was the basis, I think I told you for a willig about the spices, as long as you put your spices into your pot where it's not yet to lettuce bezeya, then it doesn't cause an absorption into the spices.
Isn't that if the same yad
soledes bo,
it can make the pot be yad
soledes bo
also?
It doesn't, if the zeya is yad soledes bo, will it make the pot be yad soledes bo? No, but it doesn't matter. It's tato gover. It's tato gover, tato always wins. Right? Now, how literally, how much should we scientifically test tata gover? I don't know. But the point is that tata gover, whether that's scientific, whether that's halachic, lamaisa, if the tata is hot, you're in trouble.
And then he just continues, v'lachein tolem basul yavish al kederos shel chalav v'lo cheshin l'zeya shel leha.
That's why I remember in the old days how they used to make salami. They would just hang it from the ceiling. And they would, the way they would dry out the meat to make it salami, I'm not total bucking this. They'd hang it from the ceiling and somehow they would hang it above the stove. There's some important reason for that, I'm sure. And they would hang the salami above the stove top. And they would cook milk sometimes and meat sometimes. And all they say it would go up and hit the salami. So why isn't that a problem? The zeya of chalav goes into the salami. Because the salami was all the way on the ceiling. Whatever zeya made it up there was already cold. Now I know theoretically steam has to be at least like the boiling point, or else it wouldn't be steam. But the point is that the general part of the airspace where that steam was very cold, even though there might have been tiny molecules that had a lot of kinetic energy. But it was definitely cold. If you would put your hand there, all the way near the ceiling, you would not feel any heat from the zeya. And that's why it didn't answer the salami. The poskim say, you still have to wash off the salami, because the zeya might have stuck there, and you don't want to eat salami with shemutz of milk on it. But in their days, it was the derech to always wash off salami anyway. Like we learned, like you shouldn't even get something wet with milk unless it's the derech to always wash it off. But in their days, it was the derech to always wash off the salami, so it's no problem if the zeya goes and sticks there, as long as there's no bliya. Everyone used to wash off salami before they ate it. And, you know, if you hung it from your ceiling and you had all kinds of things going on in your house, you would also wash off the salami. And that's why we're not worried about it. V'chein, let me just finish this for a second. If a machvas mechusa hakol shari, likewise, if there was a cover here, that's all mutter. I mean, that's pretty posh if that's all mutter, because how's any zeya going to get up if the pot is covered? You're not, the zeya can't travel through walls. So it's all mutter. Just like, we learned this from already, anytime you have two kederos that touch each other, you know, just with the metal, or cheres or whatever, touching metal, that's totally mutter. There's no way to get a bliya from one to the other. Likewise here, if it's covered, there's no way to get a bliya from one to the other. The bliya can't get through the wall. Right, the zeya goes up here, but can't get out of the pot cover. The ain osn zon suben gea kol shekin the zeya. So even if they actually touch, they can't answer each other. Kol shekin, if the zeya just goes through here and can't penetrate the cover, it has no half a mean of answering this busser on top of it. Like nothing goes up. Miu lechachili yishli zar b'chol zeh. This we saw is a very controversial line. What is this lechachili yishli zar b'chol zeh? Rav Moshe wanted to say maybe it only applied to like here, where the steam might push up the cover. It didn't really mean to kederos hanogel zuvazu. Pashas, the Rambam it meant kol zeh. We're lechachila, we're nizar b'chol zeh. We don't put two pots next to each other lechachila. We don't cover up the chalav and put it under a kederos al basur lechachila. Lechachila, we don't rely on covered pots. And then the question just between the Prima Gadol and Rav Moshe was, well, what about a pot on the stove grate? Okay, that. Rav Moshe said, l'chachila, you could rely on. But l'chachila, b'chol zeh, we don't rely on two pots next to each other. Maybe the reason is it might spill one onto the other. We don't rely on a covered pot under meat, because maybe the cover might come off and the zeh will go up. So l'chachila, we avoid this. But for the Eved, it's fine. Rock.
But
structure we're talking about here if it's not one of our ovens?
Well, that's a little controversial what kind of structure we're talking about. So clearly we're talking about where the heat only comes from the bottom. Now, what kind of structure we're talking about, we'll get back to, because that's going to be quite controversial. Now, let me just ask, I mean, I did a quick run-through. You can copy your notes from then. At the end of this remark, if there's any other questions, or we can really tackle this issue of Zeya and see what's going on. Okay, so what's funny about Zeya is that if you would read through the whole Shulchan Aruch, well, okay, you can approach this from a number of angles. Let's take a common modern application of this rush. What is a common modern application of this rush? Common modern application of this rush is that you can't use the same oven for meat and milk. Everyone knows that halacha. By the way, let me just point out, there is a very, very nice article that was written up by Rabbi Howie or Chaim Jachter, who I'm sure you've all heard of, in the RJJ Journal, and then, of course, published in the TABC Parsha newsletter, Cooking Milk and Meat in One Oven, which, I mean, Kedarko Bakodesh summarizes everything very nicely, brings out contemporary poskim, and I think we'll cover most of it in Shir. But if anyone wants to read this great article, I left it on the screen, on the desktop, that's what they call it, the things on the screen, of the computer right next to the printer in the computer room. You know, right to the right of the printer is a computer. So right on there it says meat, milk, oven, something like that. So anyone who wants to can just click on it and print it out for themselves instead of Xeroxing it for everyone. So it's right there. If you're at home, just Google Jachter milk meat oven, and that'll be pretty accurate. The common contemporary application of this is, hold on a second, this changes everything. You can't use an oven for meat and milk, right? Because when you cook milk in the oven, the zeya goes into your oven. When you cook meat in the oven, the zeya goes into your oven, and it mixes everything. So when you cook milk, the zeya makes your oven milk. Then when you cook meat, the zeya makes your oven treif and takes the treif face and puts it into your meat. And you're eating basar v'chalav. And you likewise can't cook in a treif oven because of this zeya.
Assumption being there's blios into the wall.
Assumption being there's blios into the wall. Why shouldn't there be blios into a wall? Every wall has blios. Now, historically, there's a very knotty difficulty. Because on the one hand, if you take this zeya to its logical extreme, then you really get the result that all ovens become treif, become milchik, become fleishik, and you can't use ovens, treif for treif, milchik for milchik, fleishik for fleishik, and you can't mix. Which is perfectly reasonable, and that's what most people do nowadays. On the other hand, if you look through all of Shulchan Aruch, no one ever told you that. Not only that, we have a whole sugya about ovens, which talks about using ovens for meat and milk and kosher and treif, which talks about recha, this chachila, not the chachila. No one ever bothered to mention that. Well, besides all this, it's all usher b'diavik of zeya anyway, so the whole sugya of recha is irrelevant. If you read modern Yehelach, the books they say, the whole sugya of recha is irrelevant because it's all usher anyway because of zeya. And it becomes very difficult to understand. You know, what is the whole Shulchan Aruch and all of Shas and everyone, all the Rishonim talking about when everyone's discussing various problems that come up, and no one ever mentions Zeya except for this one discussion of the Shulchan Aruch here, which is in a very limited case, which doesn't talk about ovens. Whenever anyone talks about ovens, no one mentions the problem of Zeya. Like all the contemporary applications of Zeya, this is a weird case. All the regular cases of Zeya we're used to, no one ever talked about. And not only that, you have a whole Siman Kuf Ches about Reicha, which should say it's all also because of Zeya anyway, and doesn't. So one of the things we'll have to figure out is there's this very peculiar phenomenon that Zeya can aser everything, yet it didn't. And not only that, if you read through, I don't know if you read the Minchas Yitzchak and the Ravadyas, etc., not the Rav Moshe, because Rav Moshe Kedarko Bakodesh doesn't quote every Shut. He quotes one or two people he likes and he talks to me Svara. But the Rav Avadya, he quotes all these Shutim, it seems pretty clear that, you know, until very recently, people used the same oven for meat and milk. Certainly no one had two ovens. That goes without saying 100 years ago, 200 years ago, 500 years ago. And people used the same oven for meat and milk. And that's what a lot of these people that are quoted by the Shutz talk about. Okay, so why is it that everyone uses the same oven for meat and milk? And you were very, it's very hard to find anyone from before the modern period who says you can't use the same oven for meat and milk. So we have to figure out now, what does all this mean? Just because still might be true. So we have to figure out some way of negotiating, of figuring out why throughout the Shulchan Aruch, throughout the Rishonim, Achronim, doesn't seem to be a problem to use oven for meat and milk, yet we have this problem of Zeya. And, you know, the answer might be, really, Zeya is not a problem, it's all wrong, or maybe it's a problem in some cases, not in other cases. There's a whole bunch of different chilukin that we might have to make. So if we were just to look at this Shulchan Aruch, which is accurately quoting the Shud HaRush, we were to look at the Shulchan Aruch and say, okay, we have the Shulchan Aruch, says Zeya is a problem. So if the Shulchan Aruch says Zeya is a problem, then why didn't anyone ever mention that you can't use the same oven for meat and milk? So what might we answer? What do you mean? Well, and I'm not sure what you mean by different ovens. I mean, he hasn't even said anything about an oven there. They had different ovens. What were their ovens different? No, they also. So you're saying maybe they didn't cook in ovens in the old days. They cooked on fireplaces. Okay, but they all cooked in the Tanur Beis Achoras. There's a lot of shots about that. Although you're right, it could be at a certain point. And they, what's all Simon Kuf Ches about? Obviously, people cooked in ovens. I don't know how frequently, how. You know, I don't know any of the details. Chazal's time, they certainly cooked in ovens. You know, so I don't know exactly, but it seems like there were ovens. So I want more. If you look at this, does Sif Ches mean that you can't use the same oven for Basar and Chalav, or does it not? And I think we just read it. Now, again, I'm not going to be here to say who's right and who's wrong among all the various poskim. But if you read it, does it say that you can't use the same oven for Basar and Chalav?
No. It was the way they cook
this thing,
stick on the walls, was obviously covered. Because you wouldn't put milk equation on the same wall oven, so obviously it was covered. So you didn't.
No, that. Well, first of all, I don't know if in the time they've shown them they stuck things on the walls still. But that still means it's open on the other sides. For cooking things.
Right. So
but Zeya certainly should, so why didn't anyone mention it?
So when you're dealing with bacon, which doesn't involve a pot, so then you don't have any Zeya. Like, bread doesn't really have Zeya. When you're dealing with cooking, you don't have any issue of bread.
Aha. So you're saying that there are certain types of things which don't have an issue of Zeya, and those were a lot of the things that were traditionally discussed when the whole problem of Zeya was omitted. And so that starts, I think, let's take Usher's angle. One angle is, it depends what type of thing we're talking about. Right? The Prima Gadim here quotes in the Rambam. Now, it's very controversial. Some of the, you know, the if you look at Rav Avadya, he quotes people in Rav Weiss who question this Prima Gadim. You know, is it the right reading there? He quotes it as a Rambam. Not so Pashut that that's the only way to read the Rambam. But he has this Chiddush. What's the Prima Gadim's Chiddush? That only Zeya of Mashkin counts halachic. Zeya of Ochlim does not count. Now the Prima Gadim says it as just a halachic chalos. Right? It's not practical. It's halachic. Halachically there's Mashkin and there's Ochlim. Those are two different things halachically. Zeya of Mashkin is a problem. Zeya of Ochlim is not a problem. That's the Prima Gadim. Whether we rely on this Prima Gadim, a lot of Achronim argue on this Prima Gadim. But Moshe Feinstein believes that whether or not you agree with the Prima Gadim, there's another heter which everyone agrees with. And this is a very crucial difference. The Prima Gadim is halachic. So let's say, one, how could we save others? Right? So one way is, the Prima Gadim says, Zeus Oakland is Moshe. Right, halachically, the Zeya of Ochlin does not have the status of Zeya. Or the status of whatever it wants to have the status of. It actually does. Just Zeya of the Alma. Okay, that's a halachic thing. The Achronim aren't so clear on that, in terms of Pesach. But, the Igros Moshe says one thing everyone would agree. What would everyone agree? Not from a halachic perspective. This is formal. From a practical perspective, what does Rav Moshe say? Dry foods don't have a lot of Zeya. It doesn't mean there's no steam that arises from dry foods. We all know there is. But it's not enough of a steam to have an effect. Now that's not in terms of the halachic chalos of Ochlin or Mashkin. Well, she just says, dry foods don't emit significant Zeya. The very different, the Prima Gadol would say that even if you had like melted fat, say, look, that's a food, not a drink, so the Zeya doesn't count. Ramosha says, not being formal. Anything liquid has a lot of Zeya. Anything solid doesn't have Zeya. That's just scientific. And that's Ramosha's Kula. Now, where does Ramosha get it from? So it's really, if you look in the, hopefully you did it, the Dark Emotion, Simon Kofches, the Dark Emotion says it. It's a little bit of a confusing question there, but at a certain point he asks the question. He says, how come we say there that if you bake like meat and milk under the same pan, it's usher if it had Zeya? Don't we know from the Rush that things always have Zeya? Right? So he answers, no. The Rush talking about cooking milk. Milk always has Zeya. Right? That's liquid. So the Kofchas, they're discussing baking solid food. Solid foods, only sometimes you might see they have Zeya. So don't usually emit significant Zeya unless you see Zeya. If you see Zeya, you see it. But Min Hastam, you don't have to worry about Zeya in solid foods. Min Hastam, solid foods don't usually have Zeya. That is Ramosha, and it's really based on the Dark Ramosha, who says it in Simon Kofches. And that would explain a lot. He'd say, look, if a problem of Zeya is usually, now, Ramosha doesn't say, again, he's not a formal thing like the Prima Gadol, he doesn't say solid food can't have Zeya, like the scientists discovered they can't have Zeya. So they usually don't have Zeya, unless you happen to notice that they do. Min Hastam, they don't. So Min Hastam, solids don't have Zeya. Only liquids have Zeya. So then, that would explain a lot. If the whole problem of Zeya is only when you're cooking liquids, and only when you're cooking uncovered liquids, then, you know what, okay, so it didn't get a lot of press, because maybe people didn't cook a lot of uncovered liquids in their oven. Certainly Mr. Gerecha is talking, right, about people who are baking solid things, so didn't belong in that discussion. And a lot of the other things they used to bake in their ovens were solid things. It wasn't really an issue. People didn't cook a lot of uncovered liquid things inside their ovens. Sometimes they would cook it on the stovetop, maybe. But it's not such a big issue. I don't know, maybe nowadays people cook a little different foods, you know, they cook different kinds of foods that they works differently somehow. But in general, you know, if you take old-fashioned Jewish foods, you know, there weren't a lot of liquid foods that were cooked uncovered inside an oven. So it just wasn't a big issue, Zeya. You know, nowadays also it might not be a big issue in your kitchen, depending on what kind of foods you cook. And that's what Moshe Feinstein says. He says, look, it all depends what kind of food you're cooking. Zeya is a problem. It can ruin all your food, can trafe everything up. It will trafe up your oven. Your oven will trafe up your food. Big problem. But only min hastam in a liquid, because most solids don't have Zeya. And only if the liquid's uncovered, which doesn't happen that often. But in your house, if it happens, then you have to watch out for it.
How do you define
significant enough to transfer any taste. How would you define significant Zeya? I think significant Zeya would mean that you look and it's like beating all over the place, right? There's little, like the Zeya literally means like sweat. How would you tell if it was sweating? When you open it up and you see there's little drops of water all over from condensed steam. That's significant Zeya. If you just notice a little steam coming up and not enough to condense anywhere, that's not significant Zeya. So if you open up your oven, and you see, yeah, there is a little steam, but you don't notice, like, water all over the steam condensing. And that's not significant Zeya. On the other hand, if you ever take off a pot cover when you're boiling water or something liquid, what do you see in that pot cover? All kinds of water. How did the water get there? It didn't jump. It was condensed from the Zeya. That's significant Zeya. But usually that only happens with liquids. Now, whether or not this is true, I don't know. It's my flow between Ramosha and Ramosha. But that's what Ramosha says. And it's based on the Dark Ramosha. What's the gedder of dry foods? No one's really sure. He never actually told us what the gedder of dry foods is. I don't know. Maybe you have to use the gedder that we use everywhere else in halacha. If you can pour it, then it's not dry. What? Yeah, that's the pizza problem. The truth is, in my house, based on Ramosha, like, the only time we really worried about Zeya was tomato, was pizza. Otherwise, you know, what did we cook that was, we cooked inflation. What did we cook that was milchit? That was liquid, uncovered. I mean, how often do you really put that in your oven? Okay, so pizza was an issue because the tomato sauce maybe is a little moist. What?
Not the cheese part.
Yeah, but the tomato sauce gets the Tom of the cheese. Tom Kicker. You know, I don't know. It's a good question. All right, Nunu.
What?
Lasagna is wet. But lasagna is dry.
Why?
You that here.
Hold it. You cook lasagna uncovered?
Yeah.
All right, Nunu. Okay, so that's all an issue. Okay, that's one derech. But, of course, if you read the Shulchan Aruch much more carefully, are you still on Rav Moshe?
No.
If you read the Shulchan Aruch much more carefully, why do you think from the Shulchan Aruch that it wasn't a problem to use the same oven for meat and milk? What doesn't the Shulchan Aruch say? Right, let's remember, here's your machlas of chalav, here's your kederas basar, here's your steam going up. What does the Shulchan Aruch say then? That the... What doesn't the Shulchan Aruch say? The Shulchan Aruch never says that the chalav is asar. And the Ramah never says the chalav is asar. They talk a lot about all kinds of various things, but they never say the chalav is asar. Why not? Because the Rush never said the chalav is asar. Now here I'm going to be going against some big people here. But if you would read Pshat in the Shulchan Aruch, again, we're not discussing out of Paschal now because there's big people on the other side. But if you were just to ask me an honest historical opinion, not necessarily for Pshat, what I think is Pashat Pshat in the Shulchan Aruch and why no one ever bothered to ask for ovens, and I'm not claiming I'm the only one who says this. Lots of Achronim say this. But I didn't discover anything. I would say, look, everyone agrees that the Kedera bought that the Basar is Asar. No one said the Chalav is Asar. Why? Because it's very Pashat. Because what was the Rush based on? The Rush was based on the assumption that the Zeyat Chalav was like Chalav. So you have Chalav going to Basar, the Basar is Asar. Which way does Zeyat go? Zeyat only goes up, I think. And I'm not a physicist or anything, but I think that there's some law of physics saying that Zeyah goes up. Right?
However, when we had...
We'll get there. Give me a second. Zeyah goes up. Zeyah doesn't go down. So... so, what?
But after those balls condense on the top
of the... Okay, give me a second. Give me a second. Zeyah goes up. Who said that Zeyah goes down? So, if the Zeyah goes up, then the chalav trafes up the basar. But there's no way the chalav gets trafed. It just emitted the zeya. It didn't receive any taste. That's usually pushed down. And then why didn't anyone worry about the ovens? Because ain't a chanami. You cook milk in the oven, the roof of the oven becomes milchic. You cook meat in the oven, the roof of the oven becomes flacia. You cook the loaf in the oven, the roof of the oven becomes trafe. Your neighbor cooks pork in the oven, the roof of the oven becomes trafe. That's wonderful. The roof of your oven is chazer trafe. But your food is never trafe because the food gives its taste, its zeya that's like itself, to the roof of the oven. The roof of the oven never gives its taste down to the food. So if you were to ask me for push-up shot, I would think that the zeya only transfers the taste up. It has no mechanism for transferring the taste down, and that's why ovens are not a problem. Now, if we were to, first of all, before you attack me, which I hope you'll have at least 2-3 mekoros for attacking me, I just noticed that Rabbi Jachter quoted from a line in the Chavos Das. It's not really the concern of the Chavos Das here, but there's one line in the Chavos Das, if you have the fancy ones, it's on page... this isn't the Chavos Das. If you have the fancy ones, it's on page... Tes Zayin in the Chavos Das. At the end of Sukkot and Chavav, page Tesayin and Chavav, you'll tell me if you think this is what, really what he says. Page Tesayin and the Chavos Das page, at the end of Sukkot and Chavav, the last few lines he talks about. One second. The end of the fourth to last line of Sukkot and Chavav. The word the Mekapshel Tachal Mekapshel. If you stick a spoon in your pot, even though it doesn't all get hot, wherever the zeya of the milchic pot goes, your fleshic spoon becomes asr. As long as hot steam reaches it. But it doesn't take the time out of the fleshic spoon. The milchic, what does the Chavos Das say? Here's your milchic pot, here's your meat spoon, and here's your hot zeya. Says the spoon becomes usher all the way up to here because the hot zeya absorbed in it. But the taste of the spoon doesn't go out from there because zeya doesn't get the taste of the spoon out into what's underneath. You only need shishim against this part of the spoon because the spoon goes to the milk. only when it's in the milk. But the milk goes to the spoon wherever the zeya hits. So I think they had a good deal. The Chavos Das holds the zeya only brings the taste of the bottom thing up to the top kli. It doesn't take the taste out of the top kli and bring it back to the bottom. That's why you don't eat shishim against anywhere the zeya reaches.
No, notice the lashon in on the Shofner from the beginning of Tzad Gimel. He says misharim shishim kneged. However much goes into the conveyor, not what goes.
You're quoting me that crazy placey.
Yes.
But even.
But the crazy placey is noted that the zeya within the walls.
Okay.
Of
so, so, so first, okay. So that's first of all, that's only a creation place. The Chavos Das disagrees with him.
A lot
of Achronim disagree with him. Okay, and second of all, I'll point out, even he only says within the walls of the pot. He doesn't extend it to Zeya coming out of the walls of the pot.
Okay,
so the Chavos Das seems to be of that opinion that the Zeya brings the taste up, but it doesn't bring the taste. But it doesn't bring the taste down. Now the Ravavadya also brings down some other poskim who say this way. He has a base Yaakov who quotes who takes this approach. She'ein yotzei zeya klapei mata lesser hachalav. That the zeya doesn't go down. He quotes, I think, a little later from. Okay, he quotes the Shabbos Yaakov. He quotes some other people also who take that approach. That there's really a good side to say. The pashta side to say is that
this is what the Chavos Das seems to say, and others, that the Zeya brings Tam up. Because it goes up and brings the Tam, but doesn't transfer the Tam down. I would even go so far as to say, if I'd be bold, that's Pshat of the Shulchan Aruch. I mean, Machaber says the Machbas is, the Kedera is Usher, and doesn't say the Machbas is Usher.
Okay, he knew how to tell us the Machbas is Usher if he wanted to.
So Pashas of the Shulchan Aruch, like the Chavos Das, that the Zeya bring the Tam up, it doesn't bring the Tam down.
Now, you're going to ask me a kasha from two places in Shulchan Aruch where the Zeya does bring the Tam down and does Asher the food that's under the roof. What are those two places? The Kisa, right? Near the Kisa, right? If you're Machasa the Kedera, then that mixes up all the times in the Kedera, which shows that it brings the times throughout the Kedera. And the Ramon Simon Kofches, right? The Kisa is Simon Tzadi Beis Sif Beis, right? That's what we just learned. Ramon Simon Kofches Sif Aleph says if you bake fleshik under a machas, and then bake milchik under that same machas, and there is Zeya, right? So the Ramon says there might not be Zeya if it's Aleph, but if there is Zeya, Lu Yitzuyer, then it would become Aser. So what take the taste down from that cover? So it's l'chor not so pasha to say that it brings the tam up, and it doesn't, and it doesn't bring the tam down, because and it doesn't bring the tam down. So you have to modify this a little, right? It sounds like a great shot, but what about Tzadi Beis Beis, which is Kisa, and the Ramah Kof Tes Aleph, which that in Hizia Mishnehem Aser. So, what did Rav Schechter answer to that?
When it's concentrated.
So, Rav Schechter says there's two different madrigas here. When you're inside a pot, right? When you're in a very small enclosed surface, then the Zeya fills, he called it a different word. I don't think Poskim are consistent using a different word, but it's a good word. He said that's like Hevel, that's strong Zeya. Then it mixes all the times all over. That's Kisa, that is a marker in Shas. But just stop when there's a pot and there's a wall and there's a big space, then that doesn't apply. When there's a big space, that doesn't apply. So what does Rav Schechter answer? And we'll see, he's not the only one who answered. We'll see in a moment. Rav Schechter says,
that in a small space, it mixes everything. But in a big space, like an oven, it only goes up and doesn't bring the ta'am down. Now, I want to just, before we see who argues on this, I want to bring another, we'll take Zev, and then I want to bring another proof that maybe this theory is true before we see who argues, Zev.
You have to say that, you know, because for the case Shofar deals with here, the problem is that the Zev goes into the pot, pulling into the walls, and then the wall, then it's us or whatever's in the wall, and that's absorbed to the pot, but it can't happen in reverse. How is it in the pot and go through the walls, come back to the machbash of cholov? So it's only because the Zev goes into the walls of the pot, but it doesn't work the other way around.
Well, sure, this pot is full of busser, right? This pot is full of a bli of busser. Why didn't the Zeya take out that bli of busser and bring it down into the milk?
If it did, it would drip into the milk, it would be reducing the restitution. It's not the same. It's not falling into the walls of the chalav and absorbing all.
No, but why doesn't the Zeya just take all that taste out and put it in the milk? What you're saying is the Zeya can't just take taste out of a wall and put it into something else.
And if it would, how much would it be? Would it be?
Okay, so you're agreeing with this kula that Zeya can't really get the taste down, at least from a wall. You know, maybe if it was a piece of something, it might be. But at least in all the cases we're talking about, clean, Zeya can't take the taste out of a clean and bring it down into the pot underneath. You're agreeing. Now, I'll tell you my personal raya why I think this is correct. This is why I gave you some funny makoros. There are two places where they discuss Zeya in the Mishnayos and Machshirin. Right? Did you look up those various Mishnayos and Machshirin that I pointed out? In Perek Beis, what does Perek Beis of Machshirin tell us? Zeyas, X, KX, right? The Zeyas Habayis and the Merchats, etc. If it was Tamei water, it's Tamei. If it's Tahar water, it's Bechiyutan, it's Machshir. The Zeya has the properties of whatever it started with. So the Zeya, the milk, is milk, and an Asher is meat. In Perek Hay of Machshirin, what do we learn about Zeya? That Zeya, but what do we learn about Zeya in Perek Hay? Just that the Zeya of something is like itself? Ah, that Zeya, Perek Hay teaches us that Zeya Michaber Mashalomala in Mashalomata. What are the two examples in the end of Perek Hay of Machshirin? Is a woman who was stirring tummy food and there was Zeya coming to her hand. If the food is tummy, it's tummy your hand. If her hand is tummy, it's tummy the food. It links them both. The mission before that teaches us if you pour cold into hot, and according to the mainstream shot of the Shach, the Zeya goes up, that connects the bottom to the top. So if the top is tummy, the bottom is tummy. If the bottom is tummy, the top is tummy. Connects them in both directions. Right? It totally connects two things, Zeya, and makes them both tummy. Whichever one started out tummy, for tummy the other one. Zeya connects two things. So now I have a very simple question. When I want to know the left laws of Tum, when I want to know the halachos of Yisra Heter, when I want to know the halachos of Nesinas Tam, because that's all I care about here. All I care about is what gives a Tam, right? I'm one of the halachos of Nesinas Tam. So, which parak of Machshirin would also apply to Nesinas Tam? If I applied parak Beis, that would just be saying, okay, the Zeya coming up can ask her what's above it. But it doesn't say it's Mechaber everything in both directions. But if I brought an example from parak Hay, that would be a good proof that the Zeya links everything and transfers everything's taste to everything else and answers it all. So what does the Rush only quote, strikingly? He only quotes Perek Beis. He never quotes Perek Hay. Not only that, what did we paskin when someone tried to quote Perek Hay? What was it, a Trumas Hadeshin? What did we say when someone tried to apply Perek Hay to Isser? Anyone remember? What simon was this? Kam Toktonin? Oh, thank you. What's the Mar Mokum? Here it is. Simon Kuf Hei Seif Gimel. He says, U'bidiyeved ein lochush. Right? That bidiyeved, it's not a problem. Meaning the Ikra Din, we don't apply this issue. L'chachilu or Nizer. We don't apply this issue to Isurim. Why? Because Isurim Tova Lo Yalfina. And we already have two models of Zeya in Masechet Machshirin. One is just that the Zeya keeps its own properties and can ask for something else. The other is that the Zeya can make anything it touches ask for anything else it touches. And the Rus explicitly only uses this example. And when someone tried to use that example of Trumas Adeshin, we pass in Isser Mitzvah Lo Yalfinan. Isser Mitzvah Yalfinan from Perek Beis, but Isser Mitzvah Lo Yalfinan from Perek Hei. Why? The answer seems to be that using their judgment, the Rishonim determined that when it comes to the Zeya of something being like itself, that's true for Isser also. The Zeya of milk tastes like milk. If you would swallow it, it would taste like milk. So it trapes up the meat. But when it comes to the Zeya, be mechaber everything around it and mixing it together, that's true for Tumah, because it's like together in Nagia. But it's not true for Isurim. Zeya doesn't transfer taste among all the various things it touches. No. It doesn't transfer taste between things. It only has its own taste. So I think it's, if you look at the Rishonim, it's fairly machrach that you have to say this chiluk. The Zeya brings the Tam up. But we have no makor that the Zeya transfers the Tam of one part of the oven to another part of the oven. And even though it's a Mekorish Mishnah and Machshirin, that's the Mishnah the Rush didn't quote, and which when the Trumas Adeshin tried to quote, we paskin Isser Mitumah Lo Yalfinan. So it seems very, very clear that it's going to be hard. We'll see someone who does it, someone very, very big. But it's going to be hard on Pip Shuto to really asher our ovens based on this Svara.
Canal the Bekiza we did the Perik Bays the Machshirin Shamasov Perik Hey Aisha Shay Yodeha Vichuli. What does the Gra say here? Let's see. Who had Dinlin in Isser? Says we're definitely good. The Gra here does quote Perik Hey.
The Grud does put Perkei here, thereby implying that once you apply Perkei, then since we pass in like the Chumim there, that it just automatically goes both ways, then maybe the Grud would be Machmir here. Well, he had a different diuk in the Grud, which I was so convinced of.
You're right. The Grud does put Perkei,
which is striking, and that might put the Gra on another side. Now, yeah.
When you said this applies definitely to pots, but lined it up with an actual chetichah basam, are we saying that because just like instead of two pots touching, there's a bit of rotev in between them that's not enough to transfer? It's only when you have a touched amount of rotev, so you can't get the taste out of the pot because you only have some zera, real rotev.
Now I'm not relying on that formulation. I'm just throwing it out as a theoretical possibility.
If we put that out, then you might even say, if the Zeya fell back in, it wouldn't even be such a problem.
Aha, okay, that's a good Hara. We'll come back to that in a moment. Now, that's a good idea from the Gra.
There are those who would disagree. Now, who's the main person on the daf here who disagrees? Who says, no, it takes the time down and asks the Machmas also. Even though the Shulchan Aruch didn't say it, it's obvious.
The Dogma Vava says on the side, and it's not just the Dogma Vava. So what does he say? The Gama Machas Nesra Shazea Nesra Ve'osarta. The Zea gets traped up and goes back down and asks the Machbas. So, this is the Chavos Dasi. Shabbat Shofar versus the Dogma Vava, maybe the Gra, and the Dogma Vava is already bringing out the heavy artillery here. As he says, sorry. The Ayin B'Magen Avraham Simen Tafnon Aleph Shavkotin Mem Dalet. And see the Magen Avraham, V'ayin L'kaman, V'chuli. He brings a right from the Ramon, Simon Kofches, but he brings a right from the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham in Simon Tov Nun Aleph, in the very beginning of Simon Tov Samach Aleph.
Now he's talking about Hilchos Pesach, so you can never be 100% sure that you can bring a sushdel from Hilchos Pesach to Isra Hetzer because of the Chumrah de Pesach. But the Magen Avraham does say you need to kasher the roof of your oven for Pesach. So, Dogma Mervava. Magen Avraham seem to imply, again, you know, we think it's the, well, it's like the Chora of the Magen Avraham, right? He doesn't explicitly address our case. But logically, you'd think the Dogma Avraham is Magen Avraham, even though we have this very nice deal from the Rush and from the Rishonim and from the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, you know what? Maybe even we're right, but other people are entitled to their opinion regardless. Regardless of whether this is proud in the Shulchan Aruch or not, the Gedolei Achronim are entitled to their opinion. And the Dogma Revava
possibly the Gra, the Magen Avraham, very serious Achronim, are convinced that the Zeya is a total Chibur and brings the Isser back down also. Now, how does the Zeya bring the Isser back down? This is interesting. It's a Machlokes Tanan, which becomes a Machlokes Achronim. How does the Zeya bring it back down? So let's just take this. The Zeya brings the Isser back down. The Achronim, you know, if you ever noticed, in Shulchan Aruch Or Chaim, there's a lot of Mefarshim on the Magen Avraham on the daf there. Even in the old-fashioned ones, before they put the Magen Avraham on the daf. I've never seen someone who has as many Mefarshim in such primary places as any Mefarish, who has as many Mefarshim on him in such chashiv places as the Magen Avraham. But the Magen Avraham has a few Mefarshim on the daf here, right? That the Machz HaShekel is just a perish on the Magen Avraham. Much of the Chacham Shlomo is a perish on the Magen Avraham. A few Mefarshim on the Magen Avraham. And if you just give me a minute to find the right Magen Avraham. So the Mefarshim argue, how exactly does Zeya bring the Isser back down? So they argue about the Machlokes Tanan, actually. Regardless of how we passed it, at least in the Isser, what are the two theories you could have about how the Isser goes back down to the Machmas, according to the Dogma of Vava? Exactly. Either it drips, maybe it just drips back down. Meaning, the Zeya that touches this Theris Busser becomes treif, right? Because it's milk and it absorbs meat. And if it drips, because Zeya does drip, right? That's how it works with these pot covers, right? All this Zeya comes up and condenses on the top of the pot cover. You don't end up with all the water on the top and nothing on the bottom, you know, like Mayim El Yonin, Fluyim Beh, right, Dibursho Kadosh Baruch. It all drops back down. So it drips back down into the Cholov and Aser Zeh. That's one possibility. Rabbi Forst is convinced that that's the possibility that Rav Moshe meant. I don't think Rav Moshe actually meant something else, but it doesn't matter. That's one possibility. What's the other possibility? What? Exactly. The Zeya is in and of itself a chibur, which transfers ta'am in all directions. Maybe, even if it doesn't drip, the fact that it's connected by Zeya is like being connected by Rotev. Just like if I had a potato here and a steak here, and there was water in between them, hot, it would transfer the taste from one to the other. If I have a steak here and a potato here, there's Zeya in between them, it transfers the taste. Just by connecting them and transferring that taste. Yeah, this is a machlokes tanaim in Mashirin, whether, you know, if the woman's tummy, does the food automatically become tummy when she stirs, or only if it drips down? Okay, so if you look here, for example, in the, I think, Chok Yaakov, maybe, the Chok Yaakov and Machzor Shekel are the two big mefarshim who comment only on the Magen Avraham. I think it might be the Chok Yaakov here, who brings down both Shatim. Where was this Magen Avraham? Yeah, that should be here. The letters. I was just looking at Samach Dalet because it looked awfully like a man. No, maybe the... Here we are. How you write lesser to Hashina Shema Yipol Shub bin Azelamat, maybe it'll drip down. This is the Machza Shekel, sorry. But oh, Jehebel Ha'olim Alamat, Machaber, Kdir Makisoi. To be A, maybe it'll drip down, and also maybe just Machaber, it'll transfer the taste. So both Shatim are in the Machza Shekel, other Achon have one Shat or the other. Two different Shatim. There'd be, you can see, tremendous Nafkaminas. There'd be tremendous Nafkamina between these two Shatim. Right, Forrest is convinced of number A. In which case, I have a great heter. Just cook your pizza in your oven and put like a lot of silver foil on the rack on top of it. So anything that drips down will end on the silver foil. That should save all your problems. Right? You should be okay then. Right? It's a good, I don't know about the rack itself, though. You might have to tape the silver foil under the rack.
right? So it'll catch the drips from the rack as well. So in a, all you have to do is cover it on top and leave the sides open, and any drips will drip off elsewhere. So that's maybe he comes with a hatter according to this understanding, but we're not sure exactly which shot of the Magen Avraham, Dogma above, is correct. Now I'll just point one thing out, which is that the Imrei Baruch on the Dogma above says that even the Dogma above will be matur our ovens, because there's an Imrei Baruch that's found in the back in this. It's on the side, I think, in the old fashioned ones. And in the back, in the newfangled ones, the Imrei Baruch has a very, very short comment on this Dogel Mervava, and says, "Nichtav etzido heichoshev asuach tzas min atzad domalach." It's a little open on top on the side. Yishlomar she'en azay your reddish of v'mata rak baliyos min amachla so lechta lekdira lachvatz. That if there's a little opening to go out, then the zeh won't go back down. It'll only go up and out. Like, it'll ask the stairs buster, but it won't be pressured to bring the time back down. Because only if it's an enclosed space will it be pressured to bring the time up and bring the time down. But if it has an escape hatch, then it won't bring the time back down. This Imrei Baruch is very similar. This Imrei Baruch, then, becomes very similar to what Rav Schechter said. What does the Imrei Baruch say? Say, the Imrei Baruch says, even according to the Dogma Mervava and the Magen Avraham, who say that in a big oven, it will bring the time up and bring it back down, but if there's an opening, then it won't bring the time back down. If there's a vent, then the time will go up, but not down. So, and you end up with, they're not saying the exact same thing, and that comes from the same angle. The Imrei Baruch will end you up very similar to Rav Schechter. Say, sure, inside a closed area with no escape hatch, the time will go up and down and all over, because the steam will just spread around and around and around and bring the time everywhere. But in our modern day ovens with the vents, so the steam, of course, it'll go up and asser the roof of your oven, but then it'll go out the vent, and it will not asser anything else. Now, this is a separate issue. It might asser whatever is standing next to the vent, which is something you have to be used from, because a lot of vents are near the cooktop and not in ovens. So you have to make sure not to cook flashing inside, put a pot of milk next to the vent. But if your vent's in the back of the oven, or if you make sure to keep your vent clear, then you can, or the Imrei Baruch would also be matur our ovens, because since there's a vent for the steam to go out, then it'll only bring its time up into the Kedarius Basar, but won't go down and asr, even according to the Magen Avraham and the Dogma Mervava.
Maybe I was just reading the Imrei Baruch differently.
Mm-hmm.
I was reading the Imrei Baruch that the pot was partially in Kuset, and there was a little part for the steam to get out, but there wasn't enough of a.
I understand what you're saying, but I don't think you can read him that way, because then he says, "Rak ba'aliyotam in amachavat holechet el hakdeira v'lachutz." After it leaves the machavat, it goes to the kedera and then goes out, meaning it's going out after it hits the kedera, which is the top thing. So it sounds like his point is it goes out after it hits the kedera; it doesn't go back down to the machavat. So he might say that. It's only a chibur when it's enclosed and the molecules are bouncing around in all directions. Meaning, it's not a formal chibur of tumah v'tahara; it's a practical chibur. It's only a practical chibur if they're all bouncing in all directions. But if they're all going in one direction, meaning what he's saying is, look, really, Rav Schechter's right. Steam goes up, not down. But if it has no place to go, eventually it makes its way back down and makes a chibur. But if it has some place to go up, then it never comes back down. I think that's as far. Because even the chibur has to be a practical chibur, because it has to transfer time. It can't be a formal chibur. So that is one direction of being matur, one direction of our motion. He's not matur all matur day ovens, only cooking some things. The other direction is the Chavos Das, Shad of the Shavnara, Rav Schechter makes this famous. But again, one of the fellows in the Kol came over and was very upset. How can Rav Schechter be so liberal and everyone knows it's usser, and you can't just invent kulas? But it's very funny because Until very recently, everyone used the same oven for meat and milk. So I don't know if there's the kul is being invented, the chumr is being invented. I don't know. The Dug Mevavah doesn't say what he thinks about ovens and what kind of ovens he had, and maybe he agrees with the Yimri Baruch's condition that if your oven has someplace for the steam to go out, it's okay. But Lamaisa, this is one direction to say steam goes up, it doesn't go down, and this is a machlokas. The Dug Mevavah, the Magen Avraham, maybe the Gra thinks the steam also goes down in one of these two ways. Havadas and others thinks the steam, Reis Yaakov, others, looking to shut, thinks the steam only goes up. And even if sometimes it does go down, you make a compromise. It goes down inside a pot, but not in a big oven. Or it goes down if there's no escape hatch for it to go up. But if there's some way for it to escape up, then it goes up and not down.
Is there any problem possible that we get the roof being now
basur b'cholof? What hana do you get from the fact that the roof is basur b'cholof? In what way does it make your life more pleasant?
Yeah, I'm not sure. Making
basur
b'chalav in our ovens.
Even according to Rav Shechter, you're making basur b'chalav
in your ovens, yes.
So
maybe we're cooking the basur
b'chalav. Maybe you're cooking the basur b'chalav in your ovens. Maybe that would get into the question of what about if basur b'chalav are balua both inside a kli and neither one really exists. Is that the oraisa, the nisr of bishul basur b'chalav? So it could be not. It could be reasonable to say not. okay, but that's not a heter. So it's quite possible that you might have to distinguish at a certain point between different size ovens. We'll get to that in a second also. Because like a toaster oven, I never heard of anyone using a toaster oven for meat and milk. Although that doesn't prove anything. But it could be, because a toaster oven is more like a pot. Maybe everyone would agree. In general, you don't toast things with so much zeya anyway. But theoretically.
Then you would have the kula of the fire in the pot.
Is that true? That's how toaster ovens work?
A lot.
Really? Okay, we'll get back to that. Now, there's another direction as well to be mocked here, which is very similar to an element we just discussed here, but you could take it in a slightly different derech. which is already hinted at in the Rabbi Kiva Eger here, and is based on the Orcha Shulchan. Yeah, I only gave you the Makors that were on the daf, but does anyone see an Orcha Shulchan? The Orcha Shulchan has an interesting heter. The Orcha Shulchan says this right here in Siman Tzadi Beis, Se'if Nun Hei. The Orcha Shulchan says, V'hine b'din Zeya. Zay is only in an enclosed space. It's only like an akira where there's a bottom thing and a top thing and there's no place for the steam to go out. Zay is only shayach. It's an enclosed space with no place for the steam to go out. Makom goloi kibetanurim shalanu sheish avir. But in a makom goloi like our ovens, which have a lot of air. The Zeya doesn't even ask for the Kedera. It doesn't ask for anything. It doesn't ask for anything in neither direction. Because there's a lot of space. The Gamas Bar Misham, the Daksha Elyon. Okay, that's his first heter. So the Yarcha Shalom says, look, if there's space, then there's no problem, Zeya. Zeya is only if there's no space, no place for the Zeya to spread out a little. But if there's a little room for the Zeya spread out, like our big ovens, now again, in Gross, he might not have meant your big ovens, then it's okay. And that is not the Orcha Shulchan's invention. That's already found in Rabbi Kiva Eger here on the dot. That's what Josh is about to tell me. He's telling me, look, this is what Rabbi Kiva Eger says, except he only says more makel. What does Rabbi Kiva Eger say here in Sifkat and Chaf Aleph? Vim ein ayad to let his bezeya mutter im lo shek dir rotech b'nei atzma ad kan lo shem arai. We'll get back to that in a second. Says v'ayin magen Avraham the imu suffik me yatzulis b'zeya. What if it's suffik yatzulis b'zeya? So yesh lo hakli bach b'chivosuf chil beisim mechav dalik. Bach says you can make it. The bach has questions this whole zeya thing. Says you can certainly be make it if it's a suffik. V'ulam he says imcholuk maguma b'kira v'akdir v'sochol amalo piyakira machas v'ini de'in makom zeilis pashet v'zem idina aser u'memelu b'suffik yatzulis b'gamkin aser. What does Rabbi Kiva Eger say? He says if you make a hole in your kira and put the milk pot in this hole,
and then put the meat pot on top of the hole, so it's mamish, there's no place for it to go out, that's an iser d'oraisa midina, and safek is l'chumra. But if it's just tama machas under k'diras basar, and there's room for the steam to spread, then that's only like a chumra d'rabbanan. So, besafek, we can be makom. Rabbi Kiva Eger just takes that one step further. Rabbi Kiva Eger says, if it's an open space, then we're makel in a case of safek zeya. The Aruch HaShulchan just takes one step further. He says, what are you talking about? If it's an open space, we're makel lagamrei. And this is going much further than the Imre Baruch or etc. They only said we're makel that it doesn't go bi-directionally. He says we're makel lagamrei. So, you have a...
The third
Tzad Lahakel is the Aruch HaShulchan, which Rabbi Kiva Eger already has an echo of. The Aruch HaShulchan says that if there's some space, then Zeya is nothing. Zeya doesn't count at all if there's space. Now, it's a little funny. Like, what would he say about like the Merachatz, etc.? I mean, that was a whole house. But again, maybe he'd say that's for Tumah V'Tahara. As far as the Isser, if there's some space like our ovens, he says, like, I might not have known on our own whether our ovens count as space or not, but he says our ovens do count as avir. In our ovens, the Zeya, it doesn't even make the roof of your oven treif. Because Zeya does not cause any blia unless it's an enclosed space. Zeya does nothing. That's going further than any kula we've seen until now. So that's the kula of the Aruch HaShulchan. What? What does he say about the salami? I guess he'd say the salami's mutter. Against the Rama. Does he talk about the salami? He doesn't talk about... What? No, that's only because not yet. So let us go. He has the kash on the Aruch HaShulchan. Okay, so the answer is he disagrees about the salami. Okay, now I'm not saying this has as strong a basis as the other Tzad. But it's definitely a Tzad. Rav Shechter likes to quote the Aruch HaShulchan, even though the Aruch HaShulchan is actually going further than Rav Shechter goes. The Aruch HaShulchan is one other kula as well, which I'll point out, which is he gives one other kula as well, which is based, the Aruch HaShulchan says, if the top is hot, then Zeya is ineffective. Where did the Aruch HaShulchan get this? From the Rosh. The Rosh says, Sir Ian, whether a hot thing is mekabel Zeya. Because maybe Zeya only works when it goes up to a cold thing. The Zeya's hot, but it's hitting the cold thing. Maybe the Zeya hits a hot thing, it gets repelled by the heat of that hot thing and never gets absorbed into it or has any exchange of top. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, look, our ovens... Right, you wouldn't put your hand on the roof of the oven. You get burned. It's all hot. So therefore, if our ovens are all hot, Zeya never absorbs anything into our ovens. Because Zeya cannot cause an absorption into a hot thing, which the Rosh says, Sir Hiyan, he doesn't think Zeya can cause an absorption into a hot thing. We get that also. We have Kham L'Tokham, right? It's only Tzoni L'Tokham that Al-Papashas, the Mishnah, caused a problem. But Zeya doesn't cause an absorption into hot things. Now, Rabbi Kiva Eger is totally against that, because what would Kiva Eger say? Says, exactly, if the top kederos are toxic from the atzma, then for sure it absorbs the Zeya. So, and he was quoting the Maharai, says opposite. Kol Shekin, what's his Lashon? Not Kol Shekin, what's his Lashon? He just says the opposite, for sure. It's Balea. After all, the top thing is hot, and it's all ready for Blea. So, okay, these are some other kulas which people bring up, but they're not as accepted. The Aruch HaShulchan.
What's the svar of number 3?
I apologize. I think the svar just is that it's not a thick enough Zeya to really transfer anything.
It's like 2 pots, you don't have enough.
It's just not significant enough to accomplish anything.
Is it getting out of the pot, or is it...
No, at all. Anything.
Even with the hot dog up there.
I think, even with the hot dog, I think you would say.
number 4 seems like the case we had before, where you have a stovetop, and it's constantly burning, except when it drops, you say it's burning the fire, it's the same thing.
No, because that was only mamish where the fire is. This is going further, saying even if it's hot, but it's not near the fire. Meaning, if the fire was on top of your toaster oven, then everyone might agree to that kula. If much the fire was on top, then everyone might agree to that kula. Except for the fact that maybe the fire is only on one part of the top and not on the other part of the top. Where the fire is a great kula. It burns it up and can't have any absorption. That's what we were discussing earlier in Sivan Sadi, Hey, Sadi, Beis, Siv, Vav, I think it came up. But over here, the fire is not on top of your oven. Just it's hot. Right. That, not everyone agrees to that kula.
What if it's like kind of burnt straw?
That might be another tzad, which we'll get to in a moment. But he didn't ultimately... Oh, you mean if the fire is on top? You meant? That's if the fire is on top, not just that it's hot on top. If the fire is on top, that's a different heter. If the fire is on top, then that's a good heter, like broiling. Right. Again, not to be confused. Fire on top is a good heter according to everyone. That mamash burns the zeya. Here we're just talking about the top of the oven is chan, so it doesn't attract zeya. That, not everyone agrees with. If there's mamash on fire on top, you're broiling, that's a different story. Everyone agrees that if the fire is going to, it's just going to incinerate the zeya, whatever it does. I don't know what it's going to do. Now. But that's not usually the case.
Except you have a fire on top doesn't mean that you can stay putting all day. It isn't going to go into the side walls and then come back down.
Yeah. Right, and that problem is only going to work for the top, which is, of course, works much better for a force. If the only problem is dripping, then as long as it's not on the top, you're okay.
Well, no, you can also have, if you have the rack on top of it, like we mentioned.
Right, okay. So the let's just see how this plays out in terms of halacha lemaisa. Rav Moshe is a very interesting tshuva, and here I have to admit, Rav Moshe is being a little unfair to the Shoel here, because the Shoel seems to have had very reasonable svaras. The Shoel seems to have had pretty reasonable svaras, which Rav Moshe really does not give any credence to. Let's see what the svaras. The Shoel just wanted to say it's always mutter. What were some of the svaras he wanted to say? A, he says common collusion. A, it's very far away. The oven's very big, has a lot of space. Okay, Rav Moshe didn't think that tiny was worth anything, but we saw it out according to the Aruch HaShulchan that takes away the whole problem of Zeya. And even according to, you know, let's say the way of Shechter explains the Chavos Das and Shad of the Shulchan Aruch, that takes away the ability of Zeya to bring the Tom down. Really, the Shoel had a good svara. Just Rav Moshe didn't really agree with or even, you know, decide to fully appreciate his svara. Then Tom Bays, that the Shoel's second svara, because there's a vent. Okay, that's based on the Yemri Baruch. He already said that makes a difference if there's a vent. Maybe the Aruch HaShulchan would also say if there's a vent, look, there's some place for it to escape. And it also has roots in Achron. But Rav Moshe was just not convinced by any of these svaras. Tom Gimel. Tom Gimel, I'm not exactly sure what the Shoel meant. Of course, I don't have the Shoel's language. That maybe it was burnt and dried out by the heat of the Tanner and it's only a Blia. So in Tom Gimel, I'm not sure exactly what the Shoel might have meant, because as Rav Moshe says, and if it's only a Blia, we're worried about the new Zeya taking the taste out of the Blia. So there, I'm not sure exactly what the Shoel might have meant, and whether maybe it really was a better svar than Rav Moshe gives him credit for. But no, we can't really know. Anyway, it sounded like the Shoel was saying a lot of the same svaras we've seen from the Achron of Hormeko. So I would say there are three drachim you can take that I found in different poskim when it comes to Tanurim. One is the Aruch HaShulchan and Rav Shechter and these other Achronim who are quoted, who say it's okay, you can just use a Tanur for meat and milk, no problem. Rav Avadya sort of agrees, he said, Bidyevit, you can certainly rely on that. You know, that's what a lot of people do nowadays. That's what all the Rav Shechter told me to YU do. The same oven for meat and milk, because we assume that our oven's a big space, the Zeya won't do anything, or even if the Zeya does something in a big vented space, it'll bring the Tom up to the roof of your oven, but it won't bring any Tom back down. It's a very logical shita, and I think the Mechaber and Ramah might even agree. Although, I can't promise you whether or not the Magen Avraham and Tugel Merav would agree. That depends on whether the Imre Baruch is right. But that's one approach, which the Shoel was trying to say to Rav Moshe. Whoever the Shoel is, or Shlus, I think. I don't know who he is. Yes?
Is that even with liquids?
Yeah, even with liquids. Yeah. Everything is okay in the oven. Right? The answer of Schechter, that's what I'll tell you. Everything is okay. That's what Rav Schechter will tell you. It is okay. What?
It's
not the not at the same time, right? No, not at the same time. Yeah. Of course not at the same time, but everything's okay.
What about spillage?
What about spillage? So spillage is an issue that no one is really worried about until the minchas yitzchak. I think the pashut answer to spillage is, so if it spills, you clean it. Because it's be'er. So if you have, what's wrong with spillage is this. If you spill gravy onto the bottom of your oven, and then you cook milk, it'll cook the gravy in the bottom of your oven, the zeir from the gravy will go up, and this whole heter won't work. The zeir, the gravy will go up into your pizza. So the answer is, if something spills in your oven, you have to clean it. And I think that those who are making an oven are basing themselves on the assumption that you keep your oven clean. Right, according to the Aruch HaShulchan, even if you spill it, it would be okay. What? No, it's still also because of Reach.
Even when you're on the Shulchan and you have spillage, it's a problem with
the
chila of
the milk. That's true. Right. So you might have a problem with the milk. So, yeah, I think everyone would agree you should keep your oven clean. What? Right. Correct.
That's usually the case.
Okay. So, this, Lamaisa, I think they're assuming you keep your oven clean, which is not impossible to do. As a matter of fact, who cooks? Is it very hard to keep your oven clean?
Ovens,
no. Okay, it's not hard to keep your oven clean. That's the psak of Ben. Like, when you cook something, if it spills, does it immediately get dry, stuck on, or can you, like, wipe it off if you do it right away? Right. Not to mention the fact that you'd think if it burns enough, then it probably doesn't have much zeh or reyach or anything left to it anymore, or even tam at all, perhaps. At a certain point, if it gets burned, that's called libun. That's libun kal if it turns into charcoal. It's the middle shein of riligare. Even before that, I'm not saying lemaisa, but you have to ask yourself. If it gets a certain degree of burn, to how much zeh is going to come out? I don't know. Certainly it might get to the level of the solid food that Rav Moshe thinks minastam doesn't produce a lot of zeh. Although if the thing on top of it produced zeh, that was machaber. All right, sorry, Ian. Anyway, lemaisa, that is one derech. One derech is the shoel. Is the Aruch HaShulchan, is Rav Schechter, the Chavos Das will tell you, maybe the Mechaber will tell you, I don't know, Beis Yaakov, some other Achronim will tell you, it's fine, use the oven for whatever you want, try to keep it clean. That's one derech. And it has a very serious logical basis. The Mechaber doesn't say the Machbis is Aser, it's a striking omission, Lanias Dati. You know, it's almost an inexcusable omission. That's one derech. Okay, the other derech is... is Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe takes a more in-between derech. I guess this is what I do at home. Not that that means very much one way or the other. Rav Moshe says that he is worried about Zeya. Zeya will aser your food if you put it in a treif oven. Right, remember, according to Rav Schechter, you can use a treif oven the same way as you can use an oven for milk and meat. It's no problem. The tam never goes into your food. Rav Moshe says, no, Zay is a problem. If your oven's treif, it'll treif your food. If your oven's milchik, it'll treif your meat. If your oven's fleishik, it'll treif up your milk. And the only way to do it is to make sure that, but it's only a problem when it's done with liquids. So when you cook something liquid, you have to cover it. And if you go one step further, according to Rav Moshe, if you cook something solid, there's no problem. Only liquid is a problem of Zaya, menastam. If you cook something liquid, you have to cover it, but you don't have to cover the meat and the milk. You can make your oven one way. So let's say you're a normal, you eat more fleishik than milchik. Make your oven fleishik. You can cook meat however you want. Milk, you can cook solids however you want. Only milchik liquids you have to cover. All right, and what if you want to cook a milchik liquid uncovered? So you kasha your oven or something. Saying it's, for Rav Moshe, he makes a pshara. So it's not hard to live with. If you're a milk eater, make your oven milchik and cover all wet meat. If you're a meat eater, make your oven fleishik and cover all wet milk. And then you'll be okay. So that's, now I have two ovens, but that's what I used to do When I had one oven, my oven was fleishik, because we ate a lot of chicken in my family. So we cooked fleishik however we wanted. Milchik, if we cooked something dry, that was fine. If we wanted to cook something milchik that was wet, we covered it or kashered the oven before and after. That's Rav Moshe's way. Okay. I'll get back to that in 1 second.
You think pizza? You're saying for pizza might be what?
I was a little choshish for pizza.
So then, what is dry?
What? Well, it's the tomato sauce is wet.
So what would be an example of a dry food? You have lasagna. Is there some sort of moist?
What?
You have lasagna. Can you have anything?
What's dry?
Challahs. Wouldn't it be logically choshish for
challahs cookies? Although you wouldn't want to make the milkshake.
Right. How about that?
That or I don't know. I'm not sure about that. Well, it does before you cook it, no?
You can't pour pizza.
I don't know. What does Rabbi Forrest think? What's considered wet? He passed like Ramosha, no? What's considered wet? What's considered dry? I don't know. The truth is that I basically like didn't cook anything milk and uncovered because you never know what's wet and what's dry.
What if the pizza is a cube of flesh? Let's say you need 20 pieces of bread out of the oven.
Ah, no, because the bread is dry. So it would be fine.
According to Chef, you don't have to cover anything in even in a tray pan.
Right.
So what was the whole with the LL, right? Warming things up in the oven. According to Chef,
could be the same time. It's a small one.
He's the post-it for the OU.
Right.
First of all, he's only one post-it for the OU. So first of all, Rav Shechter doesn't get to make all the decisions for the OU. And he's only one vote. And second of all, you know, it could be that maybe those Elal ovens are so small that they're more choshesh, especially when they get filled with food. But third of all, I mean, who says that they even clean them after putting tray food in them? Right. So, Lemaisa and... Right. So, that's the Rav Weiss... Rav Weiss in the Minchas Yitzchak has a more machmer approach, and he doesn't accept any of these kulas. He doesn't make any pshuras. He says everything is usher because of zeya. There's no kulas at all. Says, oh, what about Rav Moshe says solid foods like don't have zeya based on the Darkei Moshe, whatever he says. He says, look, I see a lot of zeya in our solid foods. Maybe in the old days it was different, I don't know. He says, solid foods do have zeya. I don't know, Ben, do you cook? Do solid foods have a lot of zeya?
Not a lot.
Hmm?
Not a lot.
Okay, well, Rav Weiss said different solid foods than you do. No, obviously there's some zeya. So anyway, Rav Yisrael Yaakov Weiss, the Minchas Yitzchak is more machmir. He says that, of course, everyone should try to get two ovens, if at all possible. everyone should try to get two ovens, because A, he certainly doesn't agree with any of these other kulas. He doesn't even agree with the Moshe's kula, because he says, no, I think they have a lot of steam. All right, I mean, I'm not going to argue with either party here. And also he says, and things spill all the time, and they don't get clean, and that's a big problem. So he just says, nope. He doesn't like this whole derech of using one oven for milk and meat.
What
would he
say about hundreds of years
ago? So I assume he would think that no one ever used the same oven for milk and meat. Now, of course, a lot of achronim would say, how do we explain why people use the same oven for milk and meat? Say, okay, they were trying the hot steak. A few people from Klal Yisrael in their time and place went off the derech, and they were trying to do la mitzvos. But avad our ancestors, and most of the times when we don't have any shuts that try to be matzik this minug. When there are no shuts who try to be matzik this minug, is that because no one was trying to passel the minug? Or because they all use separate ovens? I don't know. Or it could be maybe our ancestor didn't cook milk. I don't know. I don't know what our ancestor did.
What about when they used the Goyish ovens to make bread?
Oh, what about the fact they make their pashtidas and bread and everything in the Goyish ovens? And take it out with a merbrada? Yeah, what about the Goyish ovens? Why wasn't there a problem with Zaya there? Okay, I guess their ovens might have been different and not had such a zeya problem. It was where Moshe would have no problem. They only put dry things in the goyish ovens.
No, pashtina was
No, it was like a meat pie or something.
Pashtina is no problem.
Could be. Anyway, Lemaisa, Rav Yitzchak, Rav Weiss would say somehow it was different in their ovens when they put their pashkin. Rav Moshe would have no problem. People only talk about putting dry things in the Goyish ovens. They never talk about putting pots with water in the Goyish ovens, only kugels and pies and breads. Okay, Rav Weiss would say somehow it was different then than it is now, for whatever reason, but Lemaisa, he's sure it's usher. Rav Weiss in general likes to be machmer.
What about kosher?
Let me just summarize what we've done so far, the structure. A, we've seen all the different ways why you could either say that this if does answer our ovens or explain that it doesn't apply to our ovens. B, in terms of Pesach Halacha Lemaisa, we've seen three pesachs as to whether or not you can indiscriminately cook meat and milk in an oven. Yes, no, or Rav Moshe in between, as long as you cover the liquid foods of one type. Which is, again, a popular minhag. Although I can't, you know, if you ask me why I follow Rav Moshe's minhag and not anyone else's, you know, it's not necessarily because I think that I have more answers than anyone else. This machlokas says, okay, that's very well he told me to do, so I follow his psak. I'm not claiming to know who's right and wrong. Let me just have one last thing. So what can you do to cook milk and meat in the same oven if you hold its usser? So there are two eitzes to get around this problem. The most obvious eitza is kasher your oven. Everyone agrees, even though it's machlokas for Pesach, although our minhag is to be bakel and our yeshiva, everyone agrees that libun kal can kasher an oven from meat or milk. This is what you all learned at night, right? In two words, why is libun kal enough to kasher from meat or milk? Hetera bala. Right, hetera bala, libun kal is good enough, even though it really shouldn't be logically. So everyone agrees, all you need to do is turn your oven up to the highest temperature, even if it's not self-cleaning. Self-cleaning is great. But even if it's not self-cleaning, self-cleaning works pashtas even for treif. Although there's some discussion, maybe there's some parts of it that don't get so hot. But the all you need to do is turn your oven up to the highest temperature for a while. Ravad, you mentioned someplace there that people who preheat their ovens might always be solving the problem. but if you turn your oven on to a high temperature for a while, then that kashers it, and even if you hold there is a problem with meat and milk, kashering it will do the trick. Even Rav Weiss agrees, you can't deny that Liban Kal works for a Tera Bala. He just has one chumrah, which is most people don't agree with this. He says, if all our ovens are Heseko Mi Bifnim, aren't they?
What?
Heseko Mi Bifnim, the fire is inside the cavity of the oven?
Yeah. Either below or above.
Either below or above, but it's inside. If you would have an oven with Heseko Mi Bachutz, that you have a box and under the box is the fire. Oh, that's what we have? Not electric. Electric ovens all have Heseko Mi Bifnim. But gas ovens, yeah, there's like holes underneath. So it's like Heseko. I'm not sure if that's Bifnim Bifnim because there's little holes there. I'm not sure what to call that. Anyway, the mainstream sock is that you just kosher your oven by leaving it on for a while at the highest temperature, and you're fine. Half an hour, what? There's a rule that you can't kosher things by heating them from the outside, only from the inside, so, depending on the exact circumstances. So Weiss wants to be macher that if your fire is not inside the cavity of the oven, maybe it's not hot enough to kosher it, so what you should do is put a pan of water in your oven, and then it'll steam, and the steam will kasher everything through Hagola, not Libra. Because if it got treif duzeya, it can get kosher duzeya. So that's Rav Weiss's chumrah, put a pan of water in your oven as well to kasher, but that's going a little far. Really, you have to have as high a temperature as you like used it, but because no one actually keeps track, etc., you should do the highest temperature, especially since in our ovens, like, it's just a matter of, like, you know, a temperature really means it can go up a little. You know, some parts could get a little hotter, some parts a little cooler because it's on a thermostat. Like, there are different settings for the flame. It's just a thermostat turns on and off. So the best thing is the highest temperature. That'll just keep the flame on.
I thought we don't kosher from the
place. So even though we don't kosher from milk to fleishik, everyone is bold in this case. If there are other stud in Lahakel, you can kosher from milk to fleishik. It's a very good hara, even though that hasn't come across in what we learned, but it's definitely true. We have a minhag, you're not allowed to kasher things back and forth from milk to meat. I don't think it's come up in what we've done, has it? No. Came up in night city. But for ovens, since there are other sudden mahakil, we're making.
And Pesach also, right?
What?
And Pesach also.
And
as long as you're
kashering. Yeah. That's a separate issue.
Is
No one really says. Like, people just throw out random numbers. He says an hour and a half. People, like, a machlokas would mean I'm really saying this amount of time and I'm disagreeing with you. Like, everyone just throws out a number, but you're never sure if anyone disagrees with anyone else's numbers or they're just picking a number out of a hat. Some people pick an hour, so it's a good round number. No, if you have an hour, turn it on for an hour. You know, if you have 45 minutes, so it won't kill you.
Maybe this is more of a little scale image, but even for trade for it, it's not a parabola. And Rosh Hashanah was just Zaya, can't be legally
legal. Yeah, you know, I'm agreeing that I actually possibly you can't be legal in Kal anyway. I'm just saying that's not even an issue here.
Even for trade.
Yeah, but you don't even have to come on to that here. Here it's a Dabar Pashut. Yeah, and Echanami, I agree. But here it's a Dabar Pashut. And there are other Tzad and Mahakal. The Rav had a svar, one of his own svars, many achronim, that you never need libun more than the temperature it was used at anyway, even for libun chomer. So that's okay. There's plenty of Tzad. But so one thing you can do is kasher it. Now the other etza is the other question is, what if you just wait 24 hours in between meat and milk? Now waiting 24 hours is never a heter for anything, right? Waiting 24 hours is only a heter. Fill in six letters. Bidyevet. Waiting 24 hours doesn't help. However, there's a Masorah from Rav Lichtenstein quotes, and I think he was quoting from the Rav, Rejector brings down, was he? What did Rejector bring down? That the that he quotes what? So Rav you're right. Rav Lichtenstein says if you wait 24 hours, then it's only Tamil of God, it's only an Israel of Achilut. An Isid Rabbanan, and an Isid Rabbanan, we could be Somech on Rav Shechter, basically says, on the Aruch HaShulchan and the Mekilim. So, this doesn't really work waiting 24 hours, but since we're not sure if it's Asur Mutter anyway, if you wait 24 hours and bring it down to it to get a Rabbanan, what does that mean? It means he's saying, Me'ikar Adin Rav Shechter is right, and the Aruch HaShulchan is right, and the Chavos Das is right, etc. Me'ikar Adin, they're right. Because you can never just do an Isur Rabbanan because you're in the mood. Oh, it's only an Isur Rabbanan, so it's okay. No. If you're willing to be Megal after 24 hours, that means you're holding an Ikar, then it's always Mutter. But for an Isur Daraisa, you're nervous, so you want to be Machmir. After all, some Magen Avraham, Dalu Levava, you know, maybe. So for an Isur Daraisa, you're too nervous. But if it's only an Isur Rabbanan, then Ikar, then it's Mutter. Rav Greenblatt quotes, even though it's not the way Rav Moshe sounds in the Tshuva, but he quotes it here, Rav Greenblatt is quite the, you know, trustworthy... the aid as to Rav Moshe, he was definitely one of his biggest, you know, one of his, I don't know, one or two or whatever, biggest Talmidim. Greenback says he heard from Rav Moshe that after 24 hours is okay, meaning the Ikar Adin, you can rely on as far as the Kula, just in 24 hours and it's the rice, so I want to be Machber, but after 24 hours it's okay. So there are, so then there are two ways to get around, and Rav Avadya also mentions. Rav Vad Yosef also says that within after 24 hours, he doesn't say in all cases, but often muklat, but he quotes here that after 24 hours, at the very least for solid foods, he's mekel lechatchila. So the halach lemaisa, what does this mean? Bottom line is you have to pick your derech. I don't think everyone has to run to her twice. It's a little dachuk and always finds very, very dachuk svaris to be machmir. But some people follow Rav Moshe, who has a kula for a lot of things, but not for everything. Other people say it's mutter legamrei. Okay, I happen to follow Rav Moshe. But even if you do follow Rav Moshe, or you follow Rav Weiss, you want to be very machmir, still, you can kasha the oven in between. You have to clean it, by the way. If you clean and kasha the oven, that's okay. And Rav Lichtenstein and Pia Shmua from, well, both of them, Pia Shmua from Rav Lichtenstein and Rav Moshe Feinstein say, if you wait 24 hours, then you can be somech on the mekilin. As well. So there's, I mean, I don't personally wait 24 hours, and there's definitely what to be somech on after 24 hours. One thing I would add is that Bidyeved, Rav Avadya says this, he's not so big on a lot of these kulas necessarily, but he says, Bidyeved, you can always rely on the Mekilim. You know, I feel very strongly that, you know, given the really strength of the rise behind the Mekilim, if you eat in someone's house, you don't have to worry about their sheets on the oven, and you can eat their food, even besides the fact that Sam Kehl Lab Neyoman, so there's another, but even if you happen to know, especially they're from Jew, right? Who just might have a different shita, and ovens might always be Ben Yoman because you use them a lot anyway. So you can certainly rely Bidyevid on the Mekilim in this sugya. Okay, that's about all we have to say about ovens. Obviously, there's more details. Let me just talk a little bit about, if I can delay you 30 seconds, I apologize, about scheduling. Where is everyone up to? What? In the middle of Tzadi Gimel. Are you going to finish it tomorrow? Okay, how about this? Let us have Shir beginning of Wednesday? Shir at the beginning of Wednesday, and then Chazara, and then the Bechina will be, I guess, on Tuesday, Wednesday, whatever the last day of Zman is, whenever. Anyone who's leaving early should talk to me about the Bechina. But the Bechina will be whenever you leave the Gros Kolel next week. Okay. What? I think you would, actually, yeah. But most things you can't cook covered, meaning there's like rules of cooking.
Right.
Like,
really? There are things like totally.
It won't mess up, it's just not the recipe. The recipe falls.
It's just. I mean. Oh, thank you so much. Yes. Okay, let's go. The. Could I just ask you a favor? Yeah, you see, this depends on your gender. Meaning, from our male perspective, like, of course you can cook anything covered. What's the big deal? But there are certain things you just can't. Like, it,
you might as well be telling them to, like,